as we lift our voice in praise, it's you that I see, it's you that I see. Sing it out, say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
Father, we give you glory, we give you praise. Speak through me, Lord, and lead us in a time of prayer tonight. In Jesus' precious name, can I hear your amen? Oh, can I hear your amen? All right, turn your Bibles with me to Ezekiel 37, the verse number 1. Ezekiel 37, the verse number 1. We are going to read a couple of scriptures from verse 1. We are reading from verse 1. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. We are talking about what I call speaking to your situation. Speaking to your situation. Speaking to your situation. Ezekiel 37, the verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear an amen? Amen. And then caused me to pass by them, run about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. They were very dry. After assessing it, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Everyone say, Lord God, thou knowest. And then again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. God asked him to prophesy breath into the bones, for the bones to live. And then I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord thy God. Can I hear an amen? And then what happened? So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Crackling noise, bone to bone, coming together. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. So the miracle has started, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thou sayest the Lord God, come from the four winds, O and breathe upon this slain, that they may live. Tonight you are going to speak into certain situations of your life. Come, O winds, and enter into this dead system, that it may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear an amen? They stood upon their feet as an exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Tonight, we are speaking, like I said, about speaking to your situation. Speaking to your hopelessness. Speaking to your impossibility. Speaking to your dry bones. Can I hear an amen? Speaking to your dry bones. Speaking to your impossibilities. Now, from verse number 1, the Bible says that, give me verse 1. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of dry bones, in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. Amen. Now, what is the meaning of the hand of the Lord was upon me? Now, if you're a Bible student, you should come across this statement. The hand of the Lord came upon me. Or the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. Or the hand of the Lord came upon someone. Samson, and then all other people. Now, when the Bible says that the hand of the Lord came upon me, he's simply talking about the anointing of God came upon me. The hand of God is an expression of the power of the Lord. It's an expression of the anointing of God. So when he says that the hand of the Lord came upon me, that means that the anointing of God came upon me. It is also to say that the anointing over my life was activated. Because we have the anointing upon and we have the anointing within. And the anointing upon, it comes upon you for a purpose. So the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and then you'll be able to perform a certain task or a certain assignment. And afterwards, it goes low or it becomes silent or it goes to rest. Or what we will say biblically, the anointing of the Lord or lifts. That at a certain season or when you are about to function in a certain office or in your task or carry out an assignment, the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord comes upon you again. Now that is different from the anointing within. The anointing within is the presence of the Holy Spirit that is always with us. And so when we talk about the hand of the Lord, we are talking about that anointing that comes upon you for a purpose. Like it came upon Samson for a purpose, came upon Joshua for a purpose. And afterwards it rest for a season. And then when it is needed, it comes upon you again. That is why as a child of God, especially if you function in a certain office, maybe you're a preacher, maybe you are in the healing ministry, you're in the prophetic ministry, you're in the apostolic ministry, you're a teacher, or whatever that God works with you, or a musician. You see that there are times that you may be walking and feeling normal, not feeling the anointing, even though you have the Holy Spirit on you, because the anointing upon is not stirred. But something will happen and then it will stir it up. Then you realize that you begin to operate in a certain dimension. You will operate in a certain way as you are known to be operating. And afterwards, you realize that you become normal. You are chatting with everybody. You now hold people. They are not falling. You are not chatting with people. Like you are normal all of a sudden. So I always tell people that if you want to get the best from a man of God, let him pray for you when he's ministering, not when he's eating, chatting. In his office playing, you should show that the people who rather like consultation, like going to the office, they miss out on a lot. Because it is when the waters are stirred, it is when the anointing is provoked, that you are able to receive more from the anointed. Not when the anointing is it's resting or like we will say at a potential level. It rather works better when it's in the move, in the kinetic, when it's in operation. And so the Bible says that the hand of the Lord came upon him. That means that his prophetic anointing was activated. It means that that power of the Lord came upon him suddenly. And then his eyes were open and he saw into the deep of the spirit and he was carried to a place that was that was a valley. And what he experienced was what he was trying to describe to us in this chapter that he calls the dry bones. And he described to us that what he saw was not just one dry bone or a dry bones of one person. But the Bible says that he said, and they were many. That is to say, maybe many years ago, there was a battle that a lot of soldiers were slain in that place. Because in those days, that's why when they regained and they were restored into an army. Because that was actually an army that had fallen in battle. And so you could see their bones everywhere in the valley. Is somebody following what I'm saying? But you see, my issue of interest here is that the Spirit of the Lord came upon and led him, but didn't lead him to a fruitful place. Led him into a dry bone. So that should make you understand that there are times that you will find yourself in a situation for three reasons. You may find yourself in a situation of hopelessness for three reasons. You may find yourself in a situation of hardship for three reasons. You may find yourself in a situation of dry bones for three reasons, or in the valley. You see, when we talk about valley, when the Bible uses valley, it's a symbol. It's a symbol that represents a low level where you feel like you have descended, where you feel like your spirit is gone low, where you feel like things are not working. And the Bible uses mountain to represent when things are doing well. You know, that is why you hear people say that God is a God of the valley and is a God of the mountain. What they are simply trying to say is that God is still God in good times and is God in bad times. I get what I'm saying. So for every valley situation you find yourself in, may God show himself strong. Let your amen be the loudest here. But my interest here is that when the anointing of God came upon Elijah, and when the prophetic oil was stirred up on him, and the Lord started leading him, the Lord did not lead him to the mountain. The Lord did not lead him to a good place. The Lord did not lead him to a palace. The Lord led him to a valley, a low life, a low situation, a difficult situation, a situation filled with hopelessness, dry bones, impossibilities. And somebody hear me carefully. There are three ways you find yourself in a bad situation, or in a hopeless situation, or a hard situation. Number one, you can find yourself in trouble by leading yourself, allowing your own desires, your own feelings, your own emotions to lead you. And there are a lot of believers who have found themselves in difficult situations today because of decisions they made. Because they follow their feelings or their emotions. Is somebody following what I'm saying? Because they were tempted. You can find yourself in unpleasant situations by being led by your own whims and caprices, your own desires, your own interests, your own feelings. For example, David, the Bible says that when it was time for kings to go to war, what did David decide to do? Rest in his palace. Rest in his palace. Rest in his jacuzzi. Enjoy himself in his house. When other kings had gone out, so that was not the will of God for his life, for him to be at home at that moment. At that moment, all kings had gone to battle. And he was supposed to have gone to battle. Are you following what I'm trying to say? But he decided to allow stress, rest, tiredness, laziness to keep him at home. And then eventually, one of the nights, he was taking a walk at the rooftop in his palace when he just looked down and saw one of the wives of his servants taking a bath. Because when you are up there, people who are downstairs, when they are bathing an open bathhouse or a roofless bathhouse, you can see them because you are at the top. So he chanced on this woman bathing, and the Bible says that his emotions were aroused for the woman. And so that led him into immorality with the woman and landed him into trouble. But that was not God that led him into it. Tell someone about you, said there are certain troubles you led yourself into. Yeah. There are certain situations you led yourself into. There are certain unpleasant situations. You see, you may find a very good brother in Christ or a very righteous brother in Christ, and you look at the difficult situations he's going through, and sometimes you wonder, so God doesn't hear prayer, or how did he end up in this? How come he's so anointed but is in this trouble? Pastors, prophets, leaders, shepherds, and you wonder that how come they ended up in such a big mess. You can understand. These are people who pray. These are people who sacrifice, who give. They are not supposed to end up like this. And you don't understand. How did it happen? Most at times it happens by this way. They allow temptation to lead them into trouble. It makes them take decisions that lead them into unpleasant situations. And people who blame God, that God has failed his servant. But God never fails his servant. It's the servants that fail himself. I guess what I'm trying to say. So be careful when you see a good guy in trouble. Be careful when you see a good lady in trouble. Be careful not to judge God or question scripture, the integrity of scripture. When you see that maybe your mother served God all her life and yet ended as a beggar. Because David said, I've been young and I've been old. And I've not seen anyone that has served God with his children begging for bread. So when you find out that somebody has served God from infancy to their grown up and still things have not gone well for them, don't question the integrity of scripture. Sometimes they let themselves by not listening to certain hard instructions of Jesus, and they decide to follow their feelings, their emotions. So tomorrow they will be preachers, but they will be suffering in their marriage because they made a mistake. They will be leaders, they will be singing and powerfully, but they messed up in a certain decision they made. Like, so you see them doing so well for God, but they are carrying certain crosses. A lot of it is not God that led them into it. They made a choice and God respected their choice. God just respected their choice. Now, well, this is what you want. Fine. Now you have become an apostle. You have to carry this load on the journey. Because you chose it 10 years ago when God said, don't. Tell somebody, don't lead yourself into temptation. Don't lead yourself. And that was the story of David and Bathsheba in 2 Kings chapter 11, 1 to 2. Again, Satan, number two, Satan can also lead people into unpleasant situations. There are certain times you find yourself in unpleasant situations, not because you led yourself by your decisions. Sometimes it is because Satan orchestrated. Satan himself led you. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4, during the temptation of Jesus, look at it. In Luke chapter 4, the verse number 5 and then verse 9. The Bible says that, and the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in time. And in verse 9, look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. You see that the devil too is able to bring people into unpleasant situations. He's able to lead you into temptation. He's able to lead you into trouble where it is not your negligence, but the devil intentionally orchestrated something to lead you into trouble. And for anybody under the sound of my voice that the devil has set you up for trouble, I command, may God provide a door of escape for you. Let your amen be a resounding one. May God provide a door of escape for you. The devil led Jesus to the highest part of the mountain to be tempted, to experience trial and temptation. And sometimes some of you are going through certain difficult situations because the devil set you up, because the devil led you into it, because the devil brought it upon you suddenly. You had no decision you made. You had nothing that you did about it. You just woke up to find yourself in trouble. Not because you messed up. Not because you did something you shouldn't have done. But it was a sudden attack. For every sudden attack on your life, I command it to break down. Are you sure you are here with me? I command it to break down. I say, I command it to break down. Lift up and say, every sudden attack on my destiny, I command it to break down. I command it to retreat. In the name of Jesus. Clap your two hands if I'm talking to you. Do you remember how Satan led Eve and eventually Adam gradually into temptation? In Genesis chapter 3, Eve didn't wake up that day planning to sin against God. True or not true? But the Bible says that, and from verse 1 and 2, the Bible says that, and the serpent was very cunning, very smart. He was naturally gifted with, you know, convincing and playing on your mind. That was his talent. And the devil decided to enter him and use him. Like the way you have a talent to sing, the devil can enter you and use you to release powerful worldly songs that will move people against God. Yeah. All what the devil is looking for is your talent. That's all. He look at, so snakes are innocent animals like every other animal God made. The hen or the cock is no more righteous than a snake. But if you dream and you see chicken right now, you say there's Christmas on the way. But if you dream and you see a snake right now, all hell break loose. Meanwhile, the snake, there are other countries that even choose snake. The snake is as innocent as the chicken. The way you enjoy the chicken, somebody to enjoy the snake. But the issue is that God gave the snake a certain ability. The ability to convince. The ability to talk. The ability to play on your mind. Intelligence. Among all animals, he was smarter than all. Than the lion. Than everybody. That's why the devil didn't use the lion. The devil didn't use any of the animals. He said, no, let me use the snake. Because he can talk well. He can argue well. He can reason well. Let me. And the enemy entered into him. Satan is not a snake. It was the snake he used. That is why he got the imagery, an image of a snake. And for the rest of scripture, you see the snake being used to compare to him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So you see that Eve, unlike David led himself, because the feeling for sex is God that gives men. It's not the devil. Hello? It's not the devil that gives feeling for sex. True or not true? Yes, that's why every human being has it. And those who don't have it, they have received a special gift for a purpose. A certain gift of not feeling for that. And if you are here and you have that feeling, don't even try that. You are married. Don't try to say, I'll control myself till I die. You are not called to do that. It's for people called eunuchs. They don't control themselves. Naturally, they don't like it. If naturally you like it, you are not one of the Roman fathers. And don't let any human being turn you into a Roman father. That's why I didn't try it. I like their robe, but I don't like their life. I'm not a eunuch. Amen. I get what I'm saying. So, he seeing a woman was not something that he has not seen before. As a king, he had many wives already. When even Nathan the prophet came to him, what did Nathan ask him? Thou sayest the Lord, if I requested for more wives, I would have given you. I just thought, hey, what prayer point? May God have mercy on you. In this church, it's not a prayer point. We rebuke it. I'm telling you, hey, a lot of 21st century Christians, if God should endorse it, I'm telling you, you see, have you watched that advert? Say, we all go pay some. Savannah. If God allows, you see bishops and archbishops and senior prophets, and all of us and part, we all go pay some. Bana. So, Kaya, so after this prayer point, we arrest it. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, what happened to David was not the devil. Bible says that each man is drawn into temptation by his own desires. That's what James explained to us. You will never fall to sexual sin if you don't have that desire. You will never fall to alcoholism if you don't have that desire. Like, the alcohol will be in front of you. It will not even move you. There are some of you who have alcoholic wine. Somebody dashed it to you, or you got it from some party, and you kept it in your room like 5 years. And you're fekeke that you have something like that. But you've never tasted it before. Like, it's not something that even tickles you. Because you don't have the desire. But there is another person that cannot stand 5 minutes around it. It's like it's his biggest temptation. So each man is drawn to temptation by his desires. So check the things you like. The devil also knows you like them. When he wants to set you up, he will use those things. You see? But in the case of Eve, it was not a desire. It was not. He just woke up and somebody started arguing with him and started convincing him. It was a sudden attack by the enemy. And it ended him, she and her husband, in what we all find ourselves in. Unpleasant situation. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that is why in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, Paul told the church that just as the serpent deceived Eve, I'm afraid that Satan will also corrupt you. That's a sudden attack that the enemy brings. I'm showing you the three things that makes people appear in difficult situations. When you see a Christian in difficult situation, it's either he himself fell to a certain temptation, or his appetite drew him into certain things. His appetite after women or after money or after something that is not his can land him in trouble. And you wonder, how can a good person like this be having such a trouble? So prayerful, so audacious. Like, yet it's light. And it's like, oh, so all the prayers is praise. God not hearing. God is hearing. But he led himself into that thing. And God still has the ability to bring him up. But it is not that simple. It may take time. So you better don't enter into certain things. Amen. Now, the third way by which people find themselves in dry bones, in difficult situations, the third way is God leading us by his spirit. God leading us by his spirit can also lead us into dry bones. So it's not only Satan that can lead us into a difficult situation. God too can lead us into a difficult situation. So say, hey, how can God lead me into a difficult situation? Hey, God, why? Have you forgotten Job? Have you forgotten that Job didn't know anything about the transaction going on in heaven? It was not Satan that advanced the attack. It was God that asked Satan a question. It was God. And typical of Satan, he knows how to play his draft, how to play his game. And he led God on gradually. So there was a bet. Okay, he will do it, he will not do it. Okay, let's see. Job had nothing to do about it. But God himself led him. Now, Jesus in Luke chapter 4. Bible says that who led him to the mountain to be tempted of the devil? Luke chapter 4. Give it to us. Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, left Jordan and was led by the Spirit. And you see capital S, it's not small s. He was not led by his own spirit or by the spirit of Satan. They would have used small s. He was led by the capital S, that is the Spirit of God. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and was tempted of the enemy for 40 days, 40 nights. So, a man full of the Holy Spirit was led into a situation of temptation. So, sometimes God can lead us into a situation of temptation. Can I hear an amen? So, somebody's asking, why should God lead his own children to a situation of temptation? Look at the main scripture, Ezekiel. He said, the hand of the Lord came upon me and led me into where? The dry bones. It was not Satan that led Ezekiel to the dry bones. It was the hand of the Lord. So if you are here and then you feel like you have not wronged anyone and it was, you don't understand, and maybe it is God that has opened you up to this spiritual temptation or battle, just be rest assured. Anytime God leads a man into a difficult situation, he has a plan for that man. Tell someone, he has a plan for you. If he led you into that situation, what I'm trying to say is that it is not that once God said go, you will get it cool. No. Oh, God is the one who says I should start a church. So when I start a church, it will be cool. No. It's not true. I'll face issues like others are facing. But what will keep me going and what will grant me eventual success is the fact that I heard from God and I know it's from God. I get it. So God says, marry this sister does not mean it to be all rosy. I get it. God says, go into this business does not mean that when you start, customers will be trooping. Ah, God spoke. He has back his word. You may wait for 5 years before you get that testimony. You may wait for 20. Yes. Because when God told me when I started church, I didn't inherit 20 members or 50 members from anywhere. I had to start from day one. From the first person that I met, I had to be convincing. Follow me, follow me. I had to do the work. It was not small. People break your heart. People will leave you. People will, like, several days will face it. Disappointments here and there. Tell somebody, the fact that God instructed you does not mean you will not face any challenge. Just that your assurance is that God sees the end from the beginning before he told you go. That means that after all these challenges, you are going to be crowned a victor. I thought you were going to clap better. After all these challenges, you are going to succeed because you're on the right path. If you are on the wrong path, you will suffer too. And you suffer till you die. But if you're on the right path, you will suffer small. But after suffering, you will succeed. That's the difference. That's the difference. And you say, I've learned that most of the times, when the devil is even setting you up, he starts with the sweet one before the bitter one comes. But when God is the one leading you, he starts with the bitter one before the sweet one comes. That's what I've experienced. So sometimes when people do bad things, watch them. For a while, they seem to be doing well. They seem to be doing well. But after some 5 years, 6 years, then the reality of what we told them to happen to them will start happening. But when they misbehave or they take a bad decision, they seem to be enjoying from it. They say, they said something, nothing happened to me. But you just give them. God, you see, because the devil wants you to go far that you can't turn back. So the devil will not let you run and come back. So deep. That's why anybody who is teaching you how to smoke from beginning, they will sponsor your smoking. True or not true? They will buy the cocaine for you. They will buy the drug. They will help you. You will struggle to get it. But after you go deep and you become now an addict, then they will withdraw. Now you have to buy for yourself. Then by that time, you start selling your house, selling your chairs, because there is no turning back anymore. They've got it. The devil has gotten you to the level where you can't return. So when the devil leads somebody to the wrong path and wants to destroy the person, from beginning, he sponsors your cause. He promotes you. He makes the thing look so simple. He said, everybody's helping you. Everybody's making the thing easy for you. Then you are forgotten what God told you that you should do. Because what God told you to do was difficult. But this one looks very cool. This one looks very simple. And you'll be following it, following, following. So you are in the middle of nowhere. Then the devil say, "Pebe bina so me jimachiye." Me jimachiye. Imagine you have climbed or you are on sixth floor. Then they call you from that. Hello, hang somewhere. I need the ladder. You can't continue. You don't want to come down. Your end has come. May God cause you to escape the trap of the devil. Is somebody getting what I'm trying to say at all? You see? So, but when God is the one leading you, even when he leads you into dry bones, he still has a way out. And why do God lead people into difficulties sometimes? Because number one, you are the solution for that difficult situation. Every difficult situation God leads you into, you are the solution. You have the solution. Why will God lead Joseph to Egypt, Dadaba, to become a slave? Because he had a solution to feed the world. And the world will need his solution. So God led him into that difficult situation. He was enjoying, his father was so, he was the favorite of his father's children. And Jacob was a rich man. So there is no way that Joseph, that's why when they go for even, they're going to take care of the sheep, Joseph doesn't go. He stays at home, eating the best of food, you know. All of a sudden, God says that, I'm sending you into Egypt. And how do I know that? Because many, many years after, in chapter 45, Genesis, verse 5, Joseph told his brothers, do not be angry with yourselves. And do not act argue among them because they were beginning to blame themselves. You said we should sell him. You said you brought a bad plan. They were fighting. Then Joseph told them that don't fight among yourselves. Don't argue because you sold me. But God sent me to preserve lives. Tell somebody you are a solution to the problem you find yourself in. I used to ask God, why? I started serving you when I was young. So God, you called me. Why did you give me such a father? Why did you give me such a mother? Why did you give me such a family? Why should I stem from this kind of family? I started serving you very early in my life. But later I grew up to understand that I am the solution for the problem in that family. I was born to change situation, to change their lives, to help them. Tell somebody you are a solution to the problem in your own family. So God has sent you somewhere. There may be some difficulty, but you are there to provide solution for that problem. You are there to provide solution for that problem. Ezekiel appeared in the midst of dry bones only to do what? Provide solution. Because of him, the dry bones became an army again. So because of you, your family will pick up again. Because of you, that company will pick up again. Because of you, that church will pick up again. Because of you, that neighborhood, things will work out in that neighborhood again. Because God is sending you to a difficult situation to transform things. Clap your two hands for the Lord. The same happened to the life of David. 1 Samuel chapter 17. When David was sent to go to the battle, he thought he was going to bring food, only for him to land in a battle. And he could have also died like any of the soldiers if they had started fighting at that moment. He could have died. God led him into a difficult situation only for him to save the day. You will be the champion of your family. Your amen can be better. I said you will be the champion of your family. And that happened to them. The number two reason why God can lead you, or the Spirit of God leads people into unpleasant situation, is to test you to know what's in you. To test you to know what's in you. It's not like God doesn't know everything. God knows everything, but God wants you to even know what's in you. Sometimes you are the reason why God takes you through. You see, God doesn't want to be accused by the accuser of the brethren. And so when he says that the youngest shall be the head and the elder shall be the younger, God will allow you to watch the play so that you yourself will know why he said the youngest. Well, because the youngest is more disciplined and the eldest is more in discipline. So God knew it. But if God has said that, oh, the youngest will rule and the elders will be a servant, and did not allow you to see style, then you accuse him that, okay, he knew. So God knows you, but God helps you to know you. Tell somebody, but God is just helping you to know yourself. You are in that difficult situation because God wants you to know that you will be very unfaithful. You will be unfaithful. The way you were reciting the marriage vows like it was from the deepest part of your heart, God knows that you're an unfaithful person. So you are in the situation to know you. Yes. To know you. God, why? Why? Why me? We just married. No. Then my wife is whatever, crippled. What? Say, God forbid. But God can allow that to happen. So you know how you are impatient. Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. Look at it. Everything you are going through, God knows. He's just allowing you to know yourself. Everyone read it. One, go. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. Change the verses so they will understand it. Now listen, there was a shortcut that when they left Egypt, there was a shortcut that they would have gotten to Canaan. Just through the land of the Philistines. That's how the Bible calls it. Through the land of the Philistines. You see that today, as they are fighting, there's a shortcut where people run. They call a certain border that leads to Egypt. So according to scripture, they could have gotten there in 2-3 days. They could have just gotten there in 3 days. They could have just left Egypt, used that route, and get there in 3 days. But God said, no. Go and pass through Red Sea. And roam 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 till all of you are dead. And only two made it after 40 years. Why? And he's telling them why. He said, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and to test you. To test you in order to know what was in your heart. Whether or not you would keep his commandment. Whether or not you will keep his commandment. I won't check a clara abano. Whether or not you start stealing from your boss. Whether or not you start lying. Whether or not you still come and worship him. Job, whether or not you curse the Lord. There's a bet on you in the spirit. Whether or not you disappoint God or not. Tell somebody there's a challenge over your destiny. There's a challenge. God is hoping that you will not give up and disappoint him. God is hoping that you will not stop serving him. God is hoping that you will not turn back from that thing. You will not change your behavior. All of a sudden, you are a good person. You have become sour. You have become bitter. You have become bad because of the situation you find yourself in. But it's not a situation that is making you that way. The situation is only making you know who you are on the inside. That you just look very nice because you have not gone through anything. You have not been tested. That I allowed you to go through the 40 years in the wilderness so that I will prove you. I will test you for you to know what is in your heart. For you to know how bad you can be. Oh, there are a lot of women who have cheated on their husband. They never knew they could cheat on their husband until maybe they lost their jobs and life became difficult and they were in critical condition and they had to sleep with somebody and get money to come and do something. Then they never knew they had the tendency to do it. They look too righteous. Yes, there are a lot of people who didn't know that they are thieves, that they could steal. So they found themselves in a situation before they realized that they were stealing. So that you will know what is in your heart. Ask the one by what is in your heart. I don't know what is in your heart. Me, I don't know. But what you are going through is helping me to know what's in your heart. It's helping God to know what's in your heart. Amen. Tell somebody, keep fighting on. You are being tested. So whenever God tests someone or God leads someone into a difficult situation, it is so that the person will be tested. The person will be proved. The person will be tested. And then the third reason is that to teach you spiritual and life lessons. When God leads you to difficult situation, it is to teach you spiritual and life lessons. Then afterwards, he will make a way for you to escape. The same verse. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. After he said, I will humble you. Even though I will humble you, go back to verse 2. Let me tell you what he meant. He said, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years in order to teach you humility. That's the meaning of to humble you. To teach you humility. Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus, the many things he suffered was to teach him what? Obedience. Was to teach Jesus obedience. God allowed Jesus to go through difficult situations to teach him a lesson called obedience for life. Some of you too, you are going through certain things to be taught the lesson of patience. You are learning the lesson of holiness. Some of you are learning the lesson of submission and authority. You are learning how to say yes, sir. Because what you don't know in your life is saying yes, sir. You are too pompous and stubborn. So God positions you in a place that you are subjected under strict authority. And you don't know why you are being treated that way, but the Lord is teaching you what? Submission. How to humble yourself. He said, and I will humble you. I will humble you and test you. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna. He taught you humility by making you hungry before he now brought the manna. Tell somebody, God is training you. I know it's bitter. There's no training that is sweet. That's why it's called training. God is training you. He says that before he brought you the manna, he taught you humility by making you hungry So God knew they were hungry.
And God said, I will not bring food. So he taught them that lesson.
Listen, a lot of you are delaying in your school of the spirit. And you see, in the school of the spirit, until you pass that test, until you learn that lesson, you are not going forward. Though. You'll be in that situation. That's how sad it is. So there are people who die in that situation. And they conclude that God has disappointed them, but they disappointed themselves. They disappointed themselves. Now, listen to me carefully. There are people who God initiated the first instruction, but the subsequent decisions they are making is not from God. So they stay in that mess for the rest of their life. For example, Jesus, who asked him to go to the mountain? God. But when he got to the mountain, who was now calling the shot? Not God, Satan. And if he had failed those tests that Satan was bringing to him, those temptations, he would have been there for the rest of his life or died a nobody. And people who said that, but it is God that sent him there. Yes, God is the reason why you entered into that difficulty. But what are you now doing with your life? What you are now doing about the situation is now going to delay you because you are not be responding positively. God tells you that go and start a ministry. That was the instruction of God. You heard from God. Now you start the ministry and now you start facing temptation of money, temptation of maybe decisions to make, and you don't consult God, and you start using your own understanding, and you start falling to certain temptations in the ministry, you end up failing in the ministry and become a nobody. Now, people who heard you say God sent you will mock at you and say God didn't send you, but God sent you. But the rest of the decisions you made on the mountain of your life, you failed. I guess what I'm saying. So, we are not arguing about the fact that God sent you to come. But we are talking about what are you going to do after. God asked you to start that business. We understand. But now, how are you going to run it? That's what will make you stay there for 50 years. That's what will make you delay for 20 years. And you say that God has deceived you. God didn't deceive you. You are really where you are supposed to be. But the other decisions you are making is now destroying. Because you are failing the exams. So once you are failing the exams, you will be repeated. You see, in the realm of in the school of the spirit, it is not your administrator that determines your promotion. It is you that determines your promotion. How quick you pass your test will determine your promotion. There are certain exams, you pass it, you are not even allowed to even retake the exams again. You'll be promoted. That's why people come into Christ in 6 months, they get something somebody has been praying for 20 years. I know what I'm saying. Some of you understand, some of you don't understand. But that's what God asked me to come and talk to you about. I'm going to pray with you. Very, very simple prayers tonight. I don't know where you are, which junction that you are. Yes, God said go to the mountain. You have obeyed. Now you are on the mountain. You have now seen bread. And because you are hungry, the devil is making you eat, turn the stone into bread. And instead of you to pass that one to you, will not pass. Instead of you to pass that one, you are failing it. The devil has now showed you the glories of the world. And he says bow, and you are bowed. But God didn't ask you to bow. God just said, go to the mountain and fast. So yes, God told you to marry this brother or date this sister. We agree. You prayed about it. Yes, sir. God confirmed. Yes, sir. But now what you people are doing in the relationship, is it from God? Now that relationship, instead of becoming what God said it will be, it will become like a boxing arena. It will not look anything close to God made. Not because there's not someone God gave you green light. It is because what you decided to do, what you sowed in it, is what has turned the thing into something else. That is the problem of the church. And it makes, sometimes
as a pastor, I weep, I cry, because I can sit back and I can watch somebody's destiny, somebody's life, and I can just tell that this guy is going to waste the rest of his life. And yet, he doesn't see it. He doesn't see it. I can just look at somebody and say, no, the decision you are making is going to destroy your life for the rest of it. But the person doesn't see it. And the person tells, oh yeah, I prayed about it. God said I should go and do this. I'm not saying God didn't say, but that the rest of the decisions you are making, it's not from God. And it can destroy you. And it can destroy the testimony. Because you are leading yourself into trouble in the name of God. Is somebody following me? Oh, is somebody following me? May you learn the lessons that God wants you to learn before it is too late. And you see, when you are able to pass this lesson, Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there is no temptation that God allows to come to you that will overtake you. In all the temptations, He, God, will make a way of escape for you. But if you are not cooperating with Him, you die in it. And people will blame God, but you are the one to blame. And so I tell people that, listen, if you fail, it will not change the integrity of God. I tell people, if you serve God here with me and still you end as a pauper or a beggar, it's not because the God of rescue is dead. He's not. He's not. He's not at all. Because you are not the only one here. I have seen Him change the lives of others. So if your story did not change, it's not God's fault. It's not your pastor's fault. It is what you are doing that I don't know about. So you go and write your exams well. Yeah, because when we close, you go home, I go home. I don't know what else you do in your office. I don't know what you do in your workplace. I don't know what you do in your house. So I will tell you the mind of God. God is coming to do this for you. But as whether it will come true or not, it depends on other factors. Other factors. Let's serve the Lord. We are all serving the Lord. But what else are you doing when you step out of this place? That is like pouring poison on your cultivation. You have planted, you have given it fertilizer, only for you to go and bring DDT and water it. We did it. Is somebody following me? I'm going to pray with you shortly tonight. We'll continue next week, the rest of the story. But the few things I've spoken, I feel we should pray about it. I feel we should pray about it. There are three ways that people find themselves in dry bones. Either by their own desires, their own feelings, and it messed them up. Or number two, either by Satan advancing an attack suddenly on you. Or number three, by God leading you into that situation. And if God leads you into that situation, you can be rest assured that one, is because you are a solution to that situation. That two, it is to teach you, it is to test you, for you to know what is in you, for you to know who you are. It's a test. And three, it is for you to learn life lessons and spiritual lessons. And the longer it takes you to pass the lessons and to learn the lessons and to pass the test, the longer your miracle waits without happening. And you may think God has disappointed you, but it is only because your first instruction was from God, but the rest of the things you are doing are not from God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Clap your two hands and rise up to your feet.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, Know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.